Some of you may have seen on the tables piles of magazines, and there was a question at the start which said, what are some of the things that these adverts tell us we need? And do these products really satisfy? Do they really give us these things we need? And that is sort of what we're thinking about this evening. The question up there, which we said we're going to think about, is can Jesus give me what I need? Now, we're going to begin by watching a video clip. And I want you just to listen out, listen to the words, and listen to the things Lily Allen needs, according to this song. See if you can just pick out some of those things that get mentioned. So what things do we need in life? Well, according to Lily, she wants to be rich, to have lots of clothes and diamonds. She wants to be famous, and will go to any length to achieve this. There's some lyrics from the song we heard. She says, I'll take my clothes off and it'll be shameless because everyone knows that's how you get famous. Life's about film stars, less about mothers. It's all about fast cars and cursing each other. Now, I'm not a saint, but I'm not a sinner. Now, everything's cool as long as I'm getting thinner. I want to be rich. I want lots of money. So those are some of the things. Money, fame, success, looks. And these are the things, of course, they're not just Lily Allen tells us we need, but society tells us we need. Every time we put on the telly or look at magazine, we're being told these are the things that are important. So Lily's quite perceptive. She knows what society teaches. And she says, I'm a weapon of mass consumption, but it's not my fault. It's how I'm programmed to function. Life like this, it's based on a deep need I'm programmed with. It's not my fault. It's who I am. It's how I'm made. Well, we're being told that these are some of the things we need. And tonight we're thinking about this question. Can Jesus give me what I need? Can Jesus meet these needs? And can he satisfy the deep longings that I have? And we're going to see the answer to this by looking at a short story in the Bible about a man who meets Jesus, and we're going to spot two things. We're going to see his obvious need and then his not so obvious needs that Jesus picks up on. So what we're going to do is, guys, can you quickly just hand those Bibles around, please, because we're just going to there's going to be some Bibles appearing on the tables. Actually, could a couple more people just help as well, please? That's fantastic. And then you can follow it along in the Bible. And when you get the church Bible, it's page 707, which is Mark chapter 2. So some Bibles are coming to you. It's page 707, this story that I'm going to read, Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached a word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So we're going to see, firstly, his obvious needs. It's pretty obvious what this man in the story's need is. He's unable to walk, and he's carried on a mat by his four friends to the house Jesus is in. The town is packed. People have heard that Jesus is there, and that people have already seen what Jesus can do. When I used to go to Ipswich on a Saturday afternoon, if Ipswich Town were playing a home match, then there'd be streams of people walking in the same direction, all the roads around town, heading towards the same point, towards Portman Roads. And I guess around the roads around Capernaum would have sort of looked similar. Crowds of people descending on this place. As an Ipswich fan, you kind of approach the ground with nervous uncertainty about what's going to happen. But I guess there would have been a far more optimistic sort of level of anticipation and excitement as people were crowding to see Jesus. People are crowding round to see Jesus, bringing to him all those who are sick and unwell, because they heard that Jesus could heal the sick and restore people to health. So these men carry their paralysed friend and find that they can't even get close to Jesus. And crowds are bursting through the door to the streets around the home. So they take the alternate route. Houses then had flat roofs and staircases up around the side. So these men climbed up on the mud roof, start pulling back the thatch, digging through to make a hole. And then they rip this rip apart the roof, make a hole big enough to lower the man on his mat through down to see Jesus. And if we went up to the man and asked, what is your greatest need? Well, you wouldn't have to be a sort of rocket scientist to work out, would you, what his answer would be. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to be able to walk again. And Jesus, he thought, was his only hope. So what is your greatest need? If someone could look into your life, look at your diary, look at your bank statements, look into your mind, what would they see are you most desperate to have? A job, a girlfriend, recognition, family, time, holiday, security, money? Well, can Jesus give us what we need? We'll look on and find out what happens to this guy. Can Jesus give him what he needs and make him well? Well, not immediately. You see, first Jesus turns things upside down, as he so often does. And just look at what Jesus goes and says to him in verse 5 there. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So what? Has Jesus lost his mind? It's glaringly obvious to everyone what this man's need is. He's come to Jesus to be healed of his paralysis. What is Jesus talking about? Well, this is the second point, the second thing we see, and that is not so obvious need. Jesus isn't stupid. He's saying that the fact that you're paralyzed, well, that isn't your deepest need. Forgiveness is. Jesus had uncovered a deeper need, and he's not going to just heal the man without first helping him to see his far greater need. The religious people watching don't just think Jesus is totally mad and lost the plot. They think he's outrageous and corrupt in what he says. I'm just going to read again verses 6 and 7. It says, "The teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" You see, everyone knew that only God is able to forgive sins. No one else. And to be able to claim to forgive sins is to put oneself on a level with God. It's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Because by definition, sin is, in fact, a rejection of God. Sin isn't just the sort of bad things that we do, the lies we tell, or stealing things, or those kind of things that we might do outwardly. Rather, sin is a mindset. It's us pushing God out and putting ourselves in his place, being rulers of our own lives. And there's a nice sort of acronym for sin: shove off God. I'm in charge, not you. And that's essentially what sin is. It's a deep-rooted problem. The Bible says it's a problem that we all face. And I think if we're honest, we know very often we fail to meet our own standards, let alone God's. You know, they're thinking of, you might have heard, changing the speed limit on motorways from 70 to 80. I mean, I was watching a debate about this on TV, and basically the people were saying, well, if you have a limit at 70, people drive 80, and if you have it at 80, people drive at 90. And they're sort of saying, well, whatever you put out, people are always going to find ways around it, people are always going to sort of push the boundaries, push the limits. And I think people have a sort of natural desire to do this. When we're told not to do something, they just instinctively want to do it, or want to sort of, you know, yeah, want to do it. And I mean, they say with children, so we have two baby girls, and people say that when they get a bit older, you don't need to teach children how to be bad, how to be naughty. That sort of comes naturally. You have to teach them how to be good. And often people say this is one of the first words they come up with is no, and you know, no, not doing that. And it's just this idea that naturally people rebel. And naturally we rebel against God. God gives us boundaries for our own goods. And sin is choosing to ignore those boundaries. And God hates sin. And he has to punish it to be fair and consistent with his character, with his just character and nature. So the Bible says that this then is our greatest need. We all, like this man, need God's forgiveness. So the third thing then that we see in this story tonight is the solution to his need. Jesus knew that the religious leaders had a problem with this. And let me just read again, verses 8 and 9. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'?" Now, I was thinking about this, because it's a good question, isn't it? Which is easier to say? And really, when we think about it, both things are things that God alone can do. But I guess it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because there's no way you can test or prove it. I mean, if I said to Sam, "Sam, your sins are forgiven," you would have no way of telling if that's true. But if I said to Sam, "Right, Sam, you're going to hover 2 meters high for 5 minutes up in the air," well, that would be pretty stupid, because you'd be able to see if I had authority to say that and to make that happen or not. And so I think it's a little bit like that in the story. Jesus wants to, in a sense, to, by doing the more difficult thing, the thing that seems more difficult, he's showing that he has authority to forgive this man, the thing that we can't see. So he wants to show people that he is both able to raise up the paralytic man from his mat, and he's also able to forgive him his sins, because he is God. And that is how Jesus can forgive, because he has the authority of God, because he is God. So why does Jesus heal the man? Well, it says it in verse 10. "But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.'" It shows the world that Jesus does have this authority to forgive sins. And if this is our greatest need, then Jesus shows us he is able to meet our greatest need. And he does this by taking our sin on himself And how he does that is when Jesus, who came as God and lived a perfect life, died and was crucified and was killed on the cross, he took all the wrong things and all our sin, all our rejection of God, all our rebellion on himself, and he paid for it. Jesus was punished in our place. Can we just have the next picture on, please? And here's a picture the chap on the left is Timothy McCarthy, and he is the bodyguard of the president. This is back in 1981. It's March the 30th. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon, and this is Ronald Reagan, the prime minister, and he's in Washington. He's been to the theatre, and he's coming out a short trip to his car, and this crazed gunman starts shooting at him. And what Tim McCarthy over here does is he jumps in front of him and he shields him, and he takes a bullet that was aimed at the president. And it's just an illustration, isn't it? That's something like what happened when Jesus died on the cross. He died as a substitute, taking God's punishment on himself so that we don't have to, so that we could be forgiven and come and have a relationship with God. So back to our question then we had at the start. Can Jesus give me what I need? Well, yes, he can. And many of the things we think we need, God can and does choose to give us. Christians can enjoy blessing from God now on earth. We can enjoy things we mentioned like family. When people become Christians and join a church community, as if a family has just grown. And Jesus can heal physical illness too, if he chooses to, like he did the paralyzed man. But he doesn't always. There's no promise, become a Christian and God will make your life easy now, or become a Christian and God will make you rich and give you all these things. The things we saw in the magazine at the start, and that Lily sang about, fame and looks, money, possessions. There's no promise for these things in this life, in the here and now. In fact, Jesus tells us that if we become a follower of his, we should expect to suffer like he did. But Jesus shows us our deeper need. We need his forgiveness for the way we've lived. Even the best of us have fallen short of his standards. And Jesus promises to meet this need. And he guarantees this by coming to earth in the person of Jesus and dying on the cross in our place as a punishment, so that we can be declared not guilty before God. And this is the great news that is at the heart of the Christian message. This is what it's all about, the Christian faith. And you may be here today as an atheist, or you may be someone who's just really not sure. Well, thank you so much for coming and listening to what I've said. May I encourage you to come back, to keep looking into who Jesus is, to ask your questions and really try and get to the bottom of it. Is it true? Is forgiveness my greatest need? And does Jesus offer it freely? And some here may want to turn to God tonight and to say sorry for our sin and thank him for Jesus and commit to walking his way as a follower, a new follower of Jesus. So I'm going to end by saying a prayer. And it may be that you take this time to, you might want to talk to God from your heart. And you may want to echo the words that I pray, asking God for these things. So let's just bow our heads and let me close in a prayer. Father, thank you for showing us our deepest need. We're sorry for the ways we've let you down. Thank you that Jesus died so we could be forgiven. Please forgive us and help us become wholehearted followers of Jesus. Amen.